Acts chapter 2. There's some here tonight that's not heard me. In case you haven't noticed that I stutter, so occasionally I get stuck on a word, and so if I get stuck, just go ahead and sit still. It always comes out sooner or later. So just kind of a pre warning there. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. I was preaching, and I said, folks, I apologize. I stuttered so much today. And they said, "Well, preacher, we figured that if it's worth saying once, it's worth saying twice. You just say a thing twice." So if I stutter, it's not that I stutter. I'm trying to drive a point home. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Acts 2, chapter 2, verse 41 through 47. Just kind of a longer introduction and a short sermon. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41 says this. "Then they that gladly received this word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things in common, and sold their possessions, their goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the people added, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Our text tonight is Acts 2:42. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." Let's pray. Father, Lord, I do love you tonight. Lord, I do pray, Lord, you'd help my mind to calm down. Lord, I pray you give me clarity of thought tonight. Pray you give me a clarity of speech. And Lord, I pray now you bless out thy word as it goes forth. Lord, we do pray for Pastor as he's away tonight. Lord, I just pray that all things would go well with the wedding, with the rehearsal tonight and the wedding tomorrow. Lord, I pray your name be honored and glorified there. And Lord, I pray, Lord, maybe even someone might be saved while they're up there. Lord, I pray now for our time together tonight around thy word. Lord, I pray, Lord, I know it's your desire to speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, help us to be listening. Lord, help us to tune, help me to tune the affairs of the day out and how the days went or how it's not went. And Lord, help me to tune all those things out tonight and to be listening to your voice. Lord, as I know you want to speak to us tonight. Lord, I pray tonight that we all may be encouraged. And Lord, I just pray your will be done in our lives tonight. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, please go. I was preparing with another message. Now, we're here in Acts chapter 2, and I read this verse. And then the other day, Pastor asked me to preach this evening, and this verse just came to, when he asked me, this verse was the first thing that popped in my head, so I prayed over it, and then, so tonight I'm gonna look at this verse. You know, we see the context here. There's been a lot of folks saved in verse 42. And those that got saved, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So we know from other scripture that the apostles' doctrine is the sound teaching of the New Testament. Turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2 through 5. We see the apostles' doctrine. The word doctrine means sound teaching. Ephesians chapter 3. A little Bible study tonight. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 2 through 5. Ephesians 3, 2 through 5. "How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, and it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." So we see it's a writing of the apostles. It's sound teaching that's here in the New Testament. Look over at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Pretty much says the same thing. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 1 and 2. 2 Peter 3, 1. "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of the apostles of the Lord and then the Savior. So we see here that the apostles' doctrine, it's sound teaching from the New Testament. And then go back to Acts 2:42 again. Acts 2:42 one more time, or a lot tonight before it's over. Acts 2:42, we see it again. And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. So we see the first one is apostles' doctrine, then they were continuing in fellowship. We see that fellowship is not just a social event, but it's number one, it should be Godward. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:9, and we're going to come back to Acts. 1 Corinthians 1:9, our fellowship should be first of all Godward. 1 Corinthians 1:9, we're going to look at quite a few scriptures, and then we'll go back and review everything. 1 Corinthians 1:9. And verse 9, 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. There needs to be a fellowship between us and the Lord. Then also there will be a fellowship manward. Look at 2 Corinthians 8:4. So we're tied all together in just a minute. 2 Corinthians 8:4. Corinthians 8:4. It says, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take up upon the fellowship in the ministry of the saints. So we will be fellowship with each other. So they should be fellowship with God, and we should be fellowship with each other. Now back to Acts 2:42. Says this, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, that sound teaching. Then they continue steadfastly in fellowship. And the third thing, and in breaking of bread. That's not the Lord's Supper, because they did it house to house, and also there's no mention of the cup there. I think example of this is over in Jude 12. Go ahead and pick your chapter. Jude 12 is what we call the Feast of Charity. The Feast of Charity, it's where they ate together, just a time of a fellowship around the table. Book of Jude, in verse 12. These are spots in your Feast of Charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, and carried about of winds, that they are spots in your Feast of Charity, and when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about with winds, about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. So we see here it's the Feast of Charity. Now back to Acts 2:42. Okay, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, sound teaching, and in fellowship. They had fellowship with God, fellowship with each other, and in breaking bread, they would eat together in prayers. Okay, we're going to come back to prayers in a little bit. So we see these things they've done, but then we see there in the rest of the chapter, we see that the results of this. Look, if you would, verse 43, the first result of these four things. Said, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. We see here that their testimony was enhanced. It's not that they feared the people, but the people, because they had favor with the people there in verse 487. But you know, they came to the point where they looked at the people and they feared God. You know, my thought here says, it should be said of us, that when other people, when they are around us, they see something different in our life, and it points them to the Lord, and we should have a good testimony. Look at over Psalm 43. Psalm chapter 40, verse 3. Psalm chapter 40, and verse 3. The fear of the Lord is a good thing. Psalm 43. And he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. When folks look at us. Does it make them fear and trust the Lord? So number one, we see because of those four things, they had a testimony that made people fear the Lord. Then look back to Acts 2:46. Not only did they have a testimony, but also there was unity there. Acts chapter 2 verse 46, we see they had unity. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. So they had fellowship and they had unity. Not only have a testimony, they had unity, but also they had a community. Look at verse 44. We see, and all that believed were together and had all things in common. With them, they showed love, they shared with each other. We know in Acts chapter 5 that they sold everything. So that they had testimony, they had unity, that they had a community. Then they look at verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Okay, back to our text verse in 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, and breaking of bread, and prayers. And then it affected their church that they had testimony, they had a unity, they had a community, and they had growth. You know, as I begin to look at these things, you know what? You know, there are four things there that are essential to the church. There's the doctrine of the apostles. That is the word of God. A church should be unified. There should be a unity there. They should be a community where we love each other and we take care of each other. And then there should be growth. You know, in our lives today, I think sometimes we forget how important prayer is. Prayer is listed along with the apostles of the doctrine. It's listed along with the unity and then the community. It's listed with all these things, but yet prayer is essential as well. You know, this year we've heard a lot about prayer. It's been much teaching. Pastor's done a great job preaching on prayer. He did a fantastic job. We've heard all these things, but my question now is, do I really know how important prayer is? Here, there's four things listed here that happened after they got saved. They came to church, they got saved and they got there, and they continued in these four things. I think sometimes we forget the importance of prayer. We know all about prayer. We pray to the Father. We pray, in the Son's name, and we know that we pray requests, make our needs known. You know, we know the different types of requests. We know all these things, but do we pray? We know things. Do we pray? Do we have a head knowledge, but no application of what we know in our head? I think today there's a lot of churches that are powerless. They have the right doctrine. They have the people that have fellowship with God and man. There's fellowship there, and there's feasts of charity there. And those things are there. But do I understand that prayer is a necessity for our church? In our lives, let's know the truths of God's word. And let's apply them. Let's know the importance of fellowship one with another and take advantage of that. Let's know the importance of the feast of charity. And, when we have these every so often, come and talk to each other in fellowship. Those things are needful. That happened here in the first church. We know these things are important. But do I understand that prayer is important as well? For our church to grow, for our church to be blessed of God, we need these four things in our church. And sadly to say, most churches today, prayer is a missing ingredient. I said it before when I was in Bible college. There's a professor there, said preacher boy said, no prayer, no power. Little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. And I think we're going to see here in just a second here, and then chapter 4, where he got that from. Tonight, we all know about prayer. Every Thursday night, all since January, we've heard prayer, and it's been all good, and we know it in our head, but is it in my life? In my life, do I really stop and take time to pray? Do I take time to take my prayer list out and pray one for another? Do I take time? Do I take time to bring these needs before God? You know, in my home and my life. You know, do I take time to pray about these things, or are we so blessed that we've lost the art or the discipline of prayer? I was talking to somebody the other day about, we was talking about Brother Harris Sr. I love to hear him talk. He has stories of how God has blessed and done great things there on the mission field, down in Africa, out in the middle of nowhere. They had no cell phones to call their home church and to ask for help. They had no cell phone to call the next town to ask for help. All they had was God. And they learned to pray. They learned to depend upon God. And now missionaries go. Most of them come back home now. They're tied back home so much with all the technology. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but is there really a trust of God where I can make one phone call and have money deposited to my account? Is it really a trust in God when I never break away from this, from my security? Many times in life we depend, before sometimes we get so used to people helping us, we make sure they know the need that we have, but don't stop and talk to God about the need that we have. We share with others, would you pray for this? I got this need in my life, and I got this and this. I got these needs. Because we know that they are givers, and that they love to help, and so we're trusting them to help and not going to God and say, God, I need your help here. I'm not praying to God. I'm asking others to pray for me because I want them to know my need so the Lord can use them to fill my need. Well, am I trusting them, or am I trusting God? In our lives today, the message is almost done. It simply is this: prayer. We know all about prayer. Do we pray? When there's an emergency in our life, something that's out of our hands, we'll pray. When we get a phone call, a loved one is near death, we'll pray. Because if God don't do it, nobody can. When we're in a situation where we have to have God, then we pray. But is prayer a discipline? Here in Acts, they continued steadfastly in these things. It wasn't they prayed on big things. They prayed consistently, steadfastly. They was always in prayer. In our lives tonight, I'm simply asking us this. We need the four things in Acts 2:42. We need those things in our church. But don't allow prayer to get slipped out of there because we think we're okay. Well, I can't say that. Many times we're so blessed, we forget we need God. I mean, I have in my billfold, I have some money. I have the church's bank card. I have my bank card. I have a cash card. I have a Dick's Sporting Goods credit card. I have an American Express, a Sam's charge card. And when emergencies happen, do I go to God first or my credit cards first? I don't stop and pray. We're blessed in America to have the freedoms that we have. This last several months has showed us our freedoms. If we're not careful, we're going to lose our freedoms. Yes, sir. We need to stop and say, God, we need your help. We're so blessed. We lose sight that we need God. The church of Acts, they needed God. I mean, you know, there was persecution there. The persecution was there. The people just saved, and then the church was growing, and they had no food, and they put everything together just so they could have food to eat, places to stay, and which was good things, but they needed God. Today we need God as much as they did. We just don't know it. We need God as much as they did. We just don't realize it sometimes. Brother Elam over in Russia, we need God as much as he does. And let's don't wait till we lose things before we realize that we need God. We are spoiled of God, and I'm thankful for that. But let's don't allow us being spoiled make us think that we are self-sufficient. Look at Acts 4:33. Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. With prayer comes power. With prayer comes power. We need the power of God in our lives. We need the power of God upon our churches. I heard an illustration one time of how at a preacher's fellowship, that there was a young pastor and an older pastor. They sit at the table talking, and the young pastor pastored a larger church, and he made a statement. He says, "Well," he said, "it's not like it was in the book of Acts when Peter said, silver and gold have I none, because now we have silver and gold." The old preacher said, "Yes, but can you say, rise up, take up the bed and walk?" We have much blessings of God. Have we lost your power? Fathers, in our homes, we have the blessings of God. But have we lost your power? In our churches, we have the blessings of God. Have we lost our power? Tonight, The things that it was for the church they needed the doctrine, and we have that. Pastor preaches sound doctrine, and they needed fellowship. That's where they fellowship with each other and the Lord. We need that today. And breaking bread, that they took time to eat together at the Feast of Charity. They took time to enjoy those times, and in prayers. And then in chapter 4:31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken. Let's don't wait till it's an emergency to cry out to God. In those times, let's cry out to God. But let's make it a habit, continually, steadfastly. The word steadfast means immovable. Steadfastly, always there. When's the last time that we prayed and cried over a lost soul? When's the last time there's something in our heart so heavy that we prayed and we prayed and we prayed? Our hearts were broken and we prayed. When's the last time we wanted God to bless our church so much, we were so burdened, that we prayed and we prayed and we prayed? Prayer brings power. Do we want the power of God upon our church? We need to be a praying church. A praying church starts when homes pray. Not the pastor. He should pray. We all should pray in our homes. Take time to pray. Take your prayer list out and pray. When we have needs, pray. Big needs, pray. Little needs, pray. The Lord knows the hairs of our head. He's concerned about everything about us. Many times we get ourselves in messes because we don't pray about things. We work them out ourselves. My thought tonight simply is this. Are we a people of prayer? We know how to pray. We know what to pray. We know who to pray to. We know all these things. But has it affected my life? I know it, but has it affected my life? You may remember several years ago when my wife had cancer. That made me stop and think. I like to fix things. You know, I like to fix this and fix that. I hate to not be able to fix my wife. I'm still trying, you know. But it happened. I went through the emotions, anger. I mean, all the emotions. I went through those. I couldn't fix it, and I had no peace. So I said, "God," her and I met. We said, "Let's pray together for God's will to be done." We prayed for God's will, and power came. Not because of us, because we acknowledged that we couldn't do it. Only God could. And when we did that, the doors began to open. Why? Power. I mean, prayer brings power. Tonight, you have a burden? Pray about it. You have a small burden? Pray about it. A big burden? Pray about it. A small decision? Pray about it. A big decision? They continued steadfastly in those three things and in prayer. As they prayed, it brought power. God wants to bless our homes and our churches. He wants to do that. But sometimes we get used to his blessings. The last illustration, Brother Bynum was over here one day. They came for a preaching conference here. We was next door. My wife was talking to him and his new wife. You know, they were sitting there, and they was holding hands. You know, and they're older than I am. They was holding hands and giggling. You know, and we was sitting there eating with them. And he said, "Rick, I want to tell you something. Don't wait till you lose what you have to know what you had. Don't wait till you lose what you have to know what you had." His wife said, "Lydia, don't wait till you lose what you have to know what you had." They both gave testimony of how they loved their first spouse and they loved their second spouse now. You know, with her husband died, he was a pastor, he died, you know, his wife passed away, you know, and they said, "We're madly in love." They said, "But we still miss so and so and so and so." Folks, God's been good to us. Don't wait till we lose what we have before we say, "God, thank you. These are your blessings. God, work in my life. God, these blessings are yours." Let's learn to continue steadfastly in prayer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I do.